You know, it's always great to finish building a project and run it on your laptop, but eventually you have to get it out there. You've got to get it in the cloud, on the web, and publishing it is an important step. I've got Andrew Hall with me, and you are going to share.
I'm going to show how to deploy an application from Visual Studio to be live in Azure in less than 5 minutes.
Nice. Welcome to another episode of On.NET. My name is Jeremy Lickness, and I'm here with Andrew Hall, who's going to share with us how we can deploy from Visual Studio to Azure. Andrew, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so as you said, my name's Andrew Hall. I'm one of the program manager leads in Visual Studio. My team's responsible for the core .NET tooling, things like it gives you IntelliSense, the compiler, the web tools, and also the Azure Publish tools for publishing to all the places in Azure that we support directly from Visual Studio.
Great. So that's exactly what we're talking about today. I'm a developer. I've written some awesome code. It's running on my laptop. Eventually, though, I have to get it out there for other people to see it. So we are going to dive into deploying apps to Azure from Visual Studio.
Correct.
All right. Well, show us what you got.
Okay, yeah, so let's go to my Visual Studio instance. So what I have here is an ASP.NET, .NET Framework application that's set up to do individual user authentication with a SQL Server. So it's an ASP.NET application that requires a SQL Server to function correctly. So everything's working great on my local machine. As you said, I want to test it up in Azure.
Sure.
So the easiest way to do that for my own purposes is to right-click, say Publish, and this will bring up the Publish Target wizard. So for an ASP.NET application, I have a couple options in Azure. I can go to Azure App Service. This is
Okay.
where we recommend that people start if you don't have an opinionated place for where you want to go. Or I can browse for an existing Azure virtual machine. So the nice thing about Azure App Service is we actually let you create an instance if you don't have an existing one already directly from Visual Studio. You don't have to leave Visual Studio at all.
Right.
For an Azure virtual machine, if you have the machine set up and this link here says how to enable Publish in Azure Virtual Machine, it will take you to a tutorial that tells you how to create the virtual machine and get it in a state that Visual Studio can publish to. We don't offer the ability to directly create that virtual machine from Visual Studio.
Okay, so we're looking at basically the difference between a platform as a service option, right? App service is going to have everything set up for me to run my application versus a virtual machine that requires plumbing, the OS, the configuration.
That's correct. And one of the reasons we offer, app service directly from Visual Studio is, as you mentioned, platform as a service. It's super quick, as you'll see here, because we're going to start from scratch. We will basically be done in less than 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
virtual machine, significantly more than that. And so we
Sure.
think you're just going to have a better experience if you go through the portal, pick all the options that you want, get all those knobs right, and then Visual Studio can browse for it once it exists.
Okay, great.
All right, so let's go ahead for App Service. Two options. I'm already in the mode that says Create Profile. What this would let me do is let Visual Studio create everything in Azure, but it's actually not going to copy my bits up yet. And
Okay.
that's what I want in this case. The other option would be to publish immediately.
Okay.
Create Profile is great because I mentioned that I have SQL Server and I'm going to tweak a couple knobs to get my Entity Framework migrations working correctly before I try to run the application for the first time. So let's go ahead and click Create Profile. So this is going to pop up our Create App Service dialog in Visual Studio. Of course, it has decided to log me out because that's the way that these things work whenever you get ready to go record a video. It worked earlier today. So it should just take a couple seconds here to log me back in. So I'll talk about right now, though, while we're on the page, you can see that I wasn't logged in with an account that had an Azure subscription associated because it had expired and timed me out. So I was at that page that basically told me, you don't have an account, either log in or create a account, had a link to go create a free Azure account.
Right.
So
So I can actually, if I don't have an Azure account, I can create a free account and play with these bits, do what you're about to show us.
exactly. So that link that was there will take you to the .NET Azure account page. It's worth mentioning just for a second that two things. One, you get if you don't have a Visual Studio subscription, I think it's $200 worth of credits that are good
Okay.
for a year. And but if you have a Visual Studio subscription, so professional, enterprise, something along those lines, you actually have free Azure credits that renew every month available to you if you want to play with any of this
Okay.
stuff. So if your company or personally have actually gotten a Visual Studio subscription, you have, depends on the subscription level, but anywhere from $50 to $150 a month in free Azure credits to play with.
So take advantage of those.
And so what I'm about to show, App Service, with a standard application App Service plan, if you run it for an entire month, that's $44 a month.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Azure you can play with a $50 credit.
Sure, sounds good.
So what we're in right now is we're in the Create App Service dialog. So it's going to ask me what I want my application name to be. This is going to be the URL that's going to actually appear for me in Azure.
So more numbers is better, right?
More numbers is better, yeah. So to make sure that this has to be unique across all of Azure.
Right.
So I bet if I do my web application, it's going to tell me that it's not available. So 1, 2, 3 is available. So what we do when you come into this dialog to make sure that you can be successful, if you looked really close at that, it's a time date stamp.
Okay.
So we just default to the time date stamp, so you're not in an error condition to start off, but obviously it becomes easy to change if you want to change it to whatever you want. A subscription, this is my Visual Studio Enterprise subscription, so I'm going to use my Azure credits that I already have available to me. What resource group do I want to put it in? Let's go ahead and just create a new one. We'll call this on.net. Perfect. Hosting plan. So Azure hosting plans, this is basically the amount of resources I want dedicated to my website.
Okay.
So what we default you to is a standard plan, which means I get one core and 175 gigabytes, or sorry, 1.75 gigabytes of RAM, not 175 gigabytes.
Right,
of RAM.
1.75.
1.75 decimal points.
175 would be crazy,
correct,
by the way.
And so then I can pick the region that I want it to be in. I'm going to go ahead to West US 2, and I'll explain why I'm going to do that here in a second.
Okay.
So I click OK. You can see that Application Insights, this is our application performance monitoring system that's going to record telemetry, so it'll get crashes, performance information about my request automatically on my behalf. If I choose a region that has Application Insights in that same region, it's going
to
default to being on. And so then once I publish, it's just there. For the purposes of our show today, I'm actually just going to say, to show how to do it, if I don't want Application Insights, just because this is a real quick test thing, I don't need the APM, so I'm going to go ahead and say none, but everything would have been created and configured correctly for me. But the last thing I do need, and we talked about this, is I need a SQL Server database.
Right.
And if I want a SQL Server database in Azure, I click this Create a SQL Database button here. And so I need a new SQL Server. And so the reason I picked West US 2 is notice that I'm using a Visual Studio Enterprise subscription. And for capacity reasons, Azure has limited the regions that can create SQL Server databases.
Okay.
And so I can see this message here tells me that this location does not support my subscription type. Choose a different one. So I'm going to go ahead to West US 2 because I know that one does let me create SQL Servers under a Visual Studio Enterprise subscription.
Okay.
And then let's pick a username and password. So this is my username at Microsoft, and I have to do a secure password. I'm not going to say what that is out loud, but perfect.
Okay, so you've gone through the dialog, and what it's showing you here is a summary in the lower right of your display of what it's going to create in Azure. And I see it's building up a server. It's creating a database on that server. There's a hosting plan, which is where you specified the size of the machine. Then there's the actual app service that hosts the web app.
Yep, that's correct. Let's go ahead and click Create. And I think you said you were going to hold me to 2 minutes. So
yes, I was.
Set your watch.
Okay. We got it running.
Yeah, but I think the important thing to point out now that we have that off and running is to point out that we didn't do anything. We didn't create any resources in Azure. None of your credits or no cost was being built up until you actually click the Create button. So I had to go to get everything configured, set up like I wanted. And then once I click the Create button, that's when this deploying step one is actually now where what it's doing is going and creating those resources in Azure for me.
So basically, I'm a little bit old school. I was working on applications back in the day when we'd stand up a physical server, locate it somewhere, install SQL Server, which could take quite a bit of time, sort through licensing, cores, everything else, deploy the database app. So all those manual steps that we used to do on physical hardware are happening automatically for us in the cloud. This is one of the reasons why we like using the cloud.
Exactly. Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, it's exactly. It's creating a what would be the equivalent of an IIS site for you on your
right.
Windows server. You don't have to pick up the phone and call the ops person and, you know, send them chocolates or whatever to get that done. You've created the database that you're now an administrator of. Again, no working with the ops team or trying to deal with licensing or get anything installed on your machine locally. And so, yeah, it should be about 2 minutes. You'll let me know how we do on that. But pretty cool that you can do all of that from Visual Studio, in even if it took 10 minutes.
And I wanted to say, too, when we created the plan, you set a very specific plan and said this number of cores and this much memory. Is that something that if later after we deploy is easy to change if I want to add more memory or change the cores, for example?
Absolutely. So I just have to log into the Azure portal, and okay. I'll show you a quick shortcut to get to the resource in the Azure portal once we finish deploying. Okay. Through a tool window that we have in Visual Studio called Cloud Explorer. We can take you directly to that resource in Azure. But yeah, under settings, if you want to adjust the size of it, you have the ability to upgrade or downgrade the size of that resource. You can increase the number of instances. So if you need to scale, it's really popular. You can increase it to up to 10 instances. So you could have up to 10 different machines hosting your application.
So we have the ability to scale out with more instances and up with a larger size machine. And we're just over 2 minutes.
Oh, I just failed.
Just missed it by a few seconds, I think. But here we are. So it says it's ready to go.
Yeah, so I mentioned that what we were going to do is I was going to show you how to apply EF migrations, because what this website does is it has a database, and so there's EF migrations that have to run to work correctly. So the way that I get to those is I click Configure. And so this is going to bring me to all of my advanced settings that I can do with this particular application. So once I click to this tab, I can, so what the spinner right here is telling me that it's actually doing a build of my application and trying to detect if there's any EF migrations that are running as part of the site.
So it's automatically detected that you have Entity Framework and you're using SQL, and it's working with that to set up the migrations.
Well, it's detecting if I have any EF migrations right now. So once that spinner finishes, which, because it's doing a full build in the background, could take a little bit of time.
This is where I share the secret, right, when you're running live demos. If you move the mouse clockwise, it should help speed things up. I don't know if you've ever tried that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you should try it. Let's see what happens.
I like it.
Okay, maybe not for this instance, but in general, that's something to try out and use.
So what that'll do is that'll go ahead and detect the connection string. So I'll expect my default connection that we populated up there to appear here. Oh, there we go. So it's actually detected the connection string of the database that I'm using here.
Okay.
For those who would like to get it from home. So update database. So I want to go ahead and update that database as part of publish, is what that checkbox does. And then I click save. And now I'm going to click the publish button. And what this is going to do is this is going to deploy my application directly up into the cloud. It's going to run those EF Entity Framework migrations. So what it's doing is kicking off a build right now. It's running my application up in Azure. Publish has succeeded.
Okay.
And so now I can see my Microsoft Edge down here. And so what it's doing is it's popping my website. And I'm going to expect that website to open for me in the cloud. And I should see an ASP.NET web application running for me in Azure.
So we did, feels like, three steps. And the third one was the easiest one. The first step was you built the profile. Mm-hmm. And that prepped Azure and gave you sort of the resource targets that you're going to deploy to. Second one was it built and took the result of that build and published it. And then lastly, we navigated to the site to verify.
We didn't actually, the third step was automatic. So it actually automatically popped my browser for me just because I had it in the background. It was blinking.
Right.
It didn't come up in my face. But Visual Studio actually opened the browser to the right tab.
Okay.
And so that's whatever the default browser on my machine would be. And so I have my application running. And you were asking about how to manage the application if I wanted to change anything about it.
Sure.
So if I click this Manage in Cloud Explorer button here, what it's going to do is it's going to open under this Recently Used tab. It'll give me my site. And so if I right-click on it, or it's available down here in the Actions pane, I have the option to open in the portal, which would let me go manage things about it.
Nice.
Open in the browser, which would, if I don't remember the URL, which I could click here, but if I'm here, I could in the browser. I can even attach a debugger. So if I needed to remote debug my application because it wasn't working correctly, I can do that from Visual Studio as well.
Nice. All just fully integrated right out of the box.
All fully integrated. So I don't even remember how to get there. Just click the Manage in Cloud Explorer, and I'm there.
Nice. I like it.
So last thing I think we should talk about. So I talked about ASP.NET, .NET Framework applications.
Right.
There's some more options that potentially become available to me depending on the deployment method that I want.
Okay.
So have you heard of Docker Containers, Jeremy?
I have heard of Docker Containers. Big fan.
I suspected you might be familiar with them. So if I click Add, and I say Docker support, which should be somewhere on here. Oh, container orchestration support. So let's say Docker Compose. So now what this is going to do is it's going to add this stuff to my application to build it as a Docker file.
Yeah, and for anyone not familiar with Docker, basically it runs off a set of instructions that tells us how to build the application and how to build a container to run the application. And what it's doing is...
It was complaining, I don't have Docker actually running on my machine, so that's
okay,
what I got
so
that error.
So talk to Docker.
Yep. So that was an error message from Visual Studio, but I don't need it for the purposes of what I'm going to show here.
Okay.
The container actually won't be built, which is why I got that error. I would just need to start Docker, which isn't currently running.
Okay.
But if I click New Profile, now I can see that Container Registry appears as an option
nice.
As well.
So explain a little bit about what a Container Registry is.
Yeah, so I think I might have actually interrupted you as you were explaining what Docker is. But Docker packages your application and all of its dependencies into a single unit, which is called a Docker image file.
Right.
And so then a container registry is an intermediate store for hosting those image files that I can then pull from production.
Right. And I like to tell people we're used to the traditional lifecycle where we check in source code and we track source code and then we build and deploy. With Docker, we can build that image, and then we can track that image just like we would source code, and the image is what we move and deploy after that. Right?
Correct. And one of the really cool things that plays into there is when you update, so publish an update or in a production environment, you pull an update, so everything goes to the registry, everything's a diff from your previous image.
Okay.
So instead of, let's say this image was make it up, but let's say it was 1.2 gigabytes. So the first time I publish and the first time I deploy it to production, so it has to copy down for the container registry, it's 1.2 gigabytes each way.
Okay.
But the next time, if I change one DLL that changes the image by 1.2 megabytes, I only publish and pull 1.2 megabytes.
It's just a little bit of a layer.
Correct.
That's sandwiched on top, basically.
Yeah, because everything's versioned, we only have to update that extra layer.
Right. Okay.
So that's the one thing that we get, again, .NET Framework. So this is all the targets that are now available to me from a .NET Framework project.
Okay.
If I were to create a .NET Core project, which I have a couple of them hanging around, so let's just open a recent one. So I think Web Application 2 should be a ASP.NET Core project. So that'll open here in a couple seconds. I'll have a couple additional targets. You can see that this is a .NET Core 2.0 project. Should upgrade it to 2.1 now that 2.1's RTW
right, exactly.
and fully available. But turns out I was actually testing this for purposes, so that's why it's there.
No need to change things at the last minute.
So let me go ahead and just delete this profile, because I already had a published profile in here.
Okay.
But once I have published a file, I also have App Service Linux available to me. And so if I prefer, from organizational purposes or personal preference, to run my application on Linux rather than Windows, Azure App Service that we looked at a little bit ago is a Windows environment.
Okay.
I also have a Linux environment available to me. And because I have Dockerized this project as well, you can see that there's a Docker file over here in Solution Explorer, I have App Service for Containers available to me. Which App Service for Containers is the idea that I create a Linux environment and App Service, but I'm publishing my own container.
Gotcha.
Rather than, the app service, the traditional model is I give it my code, it decides how to configure the hosting environment and all of the dependencies. In this model, Azure, I provision some computing resources, but it's going to actually pull whatever image I tell it to pull.
So you have bring your own container, basically.
Bring your own container is exactly what it is.
Option. And the other thing I would say, we've got a lot of different published targets, and this is a great way to get started as a developer. I'll right-click, I'll publish, I'll make sure it's working in the cloud. All of these can be used as templates to build a full DevOps pipeline, right, and have an automated workflow.
That's correct. So you'll notice here at the bottom of the publish page, we offer the ability to set up continuous delivery directly from Visual Studio, which will automatically configure a continuous delivery pipeline if you wanted from Visual Studio using Visual Studio Team Services as your build server for doing that. Now, this particular one's going to not be happy with me because it's not checked into source control, so I'm going to go ahead and, and bail out of that. It's one of the prerequisites, so I'm not going to satisfy the prerequisites. But yeah, so absolutely, it can be used as a template for getting a full continuous delivery pipeline set up.
Okay. Well, we covered a lot of ground today. What I like is that you didn't just show me a simple web app. We had an app with a SQL backend, with security and all the pieces we'd have in a real-world app, if you will. But it is as simple as going into Visual Studio. We've seen a bunch of different options to publish it. If we want to go the virtual machine route, we can. But there's these really nice go straight to a container, go straight to an app service options.
Absolutely. I'll give one more plug, which goes back to your full DevOps pipeline. We would, as a recommendation on the team, say that we think that you should use the right-click publish to deployment generally for your own developer testing purposes.
Sure.
If you're going to send something into production, it's generally a best practice to set up a continuous delivery pipeline because that's going to archive all the build information, all your symbols, all your source. You can control who actually has access to touch the production environment.
Okay. And it sounds like it's a good topic for us to cover in the future is that whole continuous delivery pipeline. I happen to know a few DevOps people, so I think we can make that happen.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us this new option.
Thanks, Jeremy.